Reformed Church.
I had shared with you that more and more, it just seems like, you know, I the way I think I put it to you a few services ago is kind of like the palette of your mind just keeps changing, you know, like where you want to spend like the time in your mind, the thinking and the, you know, the I don't know why the word like musing comes to my mind, but like where you want to spend like your head time, right? That keeps changing, right? And with that, you know, there's been a lot of things that the Lord has been ministering to me personally. But over the last several days, you know, I had been talking to you about, well, over the last several days, the Lord has been just ministering some things to me based on what I had been talking to you guys about. We were talking about things that are temporal and how there are things that are eternal and permanent, right? And the verse that I was reading to you, I think last, I want to say it was on Sunday, right? And maybe we could go to it quickly. It was Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 23. and this is around how the Lord was telling them to treat the bread from heaven, how he was telling them to treat the manna. And let me, I will put this right there. That's a beautiful thing. Okay. And so he was telling them how to treat the manna. And in verse 23, he says, then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. In other words, bake and boil as much as you want, right? As much you'll gather of the manna. And then he says, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. And I just saw a lot of significance with that, and some of that I shared with you, that this was kind of like they were still in the first 6 days, right? And they were about to enter into the seventh day, which would be their rest, right? And what he was telling them to do is you know, bake what you're going to bake. In other words, labor today, because tomorrow you rest. Labor today because tomorrow you won't. There was a couple things that were going to happen. They were going to be provided for in the seventh day based on what they laid up for themselves, right? Based on what was laid up, I should say like that, right? And also, if they were going to the field to try to find manna, he says, you'll find nothing. You're right. You would find none. Verse 24 says, so they laid it up till morning, and Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were any worms in it. So even though, you know, what he had told them throughout the 6 days, if you lay up that manna for the next day, if you try to gather more for the next day, it will rot, right? Like the things of this world do, it will corrupt, right? It'll rot. But only on the seventh day, right, the bread that was provided for them, that was eternal, right? That was something that was lasting, right? And it says in verse 25, then Moses said, eat that today. So now in the Sabbath now, he says, eat that today, that bread that they had laid up. Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Verse 26 says, 6 days you will gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. And he says, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? He was saying that obviously about the people. So there is a ton of things that we went through, but in what he's saying there, right, the 6 days throughout the work of the 6 days, right, is a parallel to how also like how Jesus labored, right? Jesus and the Father labored in order to bring us into rest, right? And that rest that we've been given, right, is what the Lord wants us to be able to walk in, right, into to it, the way Hebrews 12, I believe around verse 28 says that, you know, when we, because we have entered that rest, we should have grace, right? That we should, in other words, be able to use and leverage and live according to the rest that we have by the Spirit, according to the things that God has provided to us by His Spirit, right? And he says, eat that, verse 25, he says, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath rest of the Lord. Today you will find none in the field. And one of the things that the Lord was showing me there with the today you will find none in the field is that the way that he put it in my mind was, right, there's nothing for you here, right? There's nothing for you here. Like the reason why he was upset with the people of Israel is because he said, how long will they refuse my commands? In other words, and all that they did, right, you could say, is that they went out to the field like he told them not to. He told them, you're going to go out and you're going to find none. So what did they do? They went out and they found none. So why is that concerning to the Lord? Like, what does that have to do with keeping the Lord's commandments? And it was because, right, that's a picture of the provision of Jesus Christ, right? Like, we're looking for something in the world, right, where the Lord has already provided everything for us for the date and the time that we live in Jesus Christ. And all that he's asking us to do is just to believe, to have faith, and to understand, right, the things that God has given and provided for us through Jesus Christ, and that we have no need living in the Sabbath the way we do. We have no need to look to the world for the things that that it supposedly then has to offer, right? And there was something with that. I my mind kind of went to Song of Solomon, and in, if I could just bring you there just real quick, in Song of Solomon chapter 2, I believe. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 13. It says, the fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with her tender grapes give a good smell. And this is the Lord speaking to the woman, and he says to her, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, right? Rise up, my love, he says, my fair one, and come away. And you know, the Lord looks, right, he looks at us, and he knows everything that he's given and everything that he's provided, and he wants you to be able to enter into that rest, right, to know that, you know, he leads you beside the still waters, right? That he's brought you into green pastures. Like he's provided everything that you need in order to have life and then to be able to abound in life, right? And he looks at you and he says, and the way he puts it here, he says, rise up, my love and my fair one. And it's cool because my fair one means my beautiful one, right? So he knows he loves you. He knows who you are, right? You're loved, and he finds you beautiful. He knows how he's made you, right? He understands what he's done in you. And he says, come away, he's saying, and follow me, right? Like, come away, like there's nothing for you here. Like, the way I pictured him, the way it ministered to me was, you know, you can have your eyes on things like what are you trying to attain to, right? Like, what is it that you're trying to achieve? Like, you're trying to, are we trying to make a name for ourselves? Are we trying to be known? Are we trying to achieve some status? So, you know, like, what is it that you're trying to attain to? Like, in other words, like, all of that stuff, like Paul mentioned, like, all of the things that you could count as gain, right? They're lost. They're temporary things. They're things that you can't lay up because they rot and they corrupt and they don't last, right? And he's saying, you know, I have set you apart for better things, right? I have set you apart for you to be able to live in a perpetual rest. And, you know, I was talking with Pastor Mike on the way here, and he mentioned something that I told him, you know, it's funny because I had been thinking about things that kind of aligned with that, about how, you know, we could just live just full of just joy because of the rest that we have, just delighting ourselves in the Lord and not have, and this is something I was just thinking about when I stepped up here, kind of, you know, in the world, there's a heaviness with things, right? There's nothing that comes from the world that it doesn't cost you something. You know, the things of the Lord, you come without money and without price, right? It's about what he's done and he's supplied, but everything in the world has a cost related to it. Everything costs you something. It costs you time. It costs you time with your family. It costs you head time. It causes you labor. It causes you anxiety. It causes you stress. There's always a cost to the things in this world when you're just trying to function in it. But it's a cool thing when the Lord says, you know, you come away and you look at me and don't worry. It's almost like he knows what you're thinking. Right? When he's telling you to come away, he says, yeah, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, how about my job? And how about this? And how about this concern? And how about what's going on over here? He says, I know all of that, right? But I have better things for you. But those things that you need there, I know what you need. I'll add those things to you. But you just keep delighting yourself in me. It's like, you know, we've been married and we haven't been enjoying our marriage to the Lord like we can, right? Like you could be delighting yourself being married to the one that owns it all, right? But yet we're still preoccupied with little piddly things, right, that are things that are added to us and not things that we need to labor for. So it's just, you know, to me, it has been, you know, a pretty significant thing. But when I tied, you know, the Lord having, you know, provided himself to be our bread on the seventh day and knowing that he was the one that labored, you know, that reminded me of in John where he says, you know, that he and the Father had labored and he had called us to be reapers where we haven't sown, right? And that really should be kind of like the theme in our lives, being people that live receiving from what Christ has already done and being able to put to death, right, the stuff that the work of just trying to work with the body to achieve something in the world, and instead being able to just delight ourselves in him and being able to see him working and him doing and adding things to us.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.